right, we are at the conclusion of Jude. The last two verses, which is there are a lot of neat benedictions in Scripture. Just most of them come at the end of books. There's a few that are kind of in the middle, but this is one of the more elaborate ones. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. I guess, there are the two things there, which is interesting, just the terminology. It keeps you from stumbling, which surely is, looking in present situations, and then to stand. So, the contrast between stumbling and stand, though the stand is in a little bit of a different context than the stumbling, because the stand is, it has to do with, that commencement of eternity, because it says to stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. So, it seems, if you were to stand in the presence of God and to be viewed, declared to actually be, that's hard one to really grasp. We know it theologically, but when you start thinking of yourself, it's almost like God just ignores everything and just kind of treats you as blameless, as opposed to that you're really blameless. It's a pretty hard concept to, to say, but stand in the presence of his glory blameless. Well, yeah, I think there would be great joy. that seems to be, almost the given there. the idea of stumbling, find that at times in Scripture, this idea of, stumbling. And in the context here, I wouldn't think stumbling is seen as I'm not wanting to trivialize this by any means, but wouldn't see stumbling as viewing it as the walking the path of Christianity, and you stumble in some sense of less than perfect obedience, less than being perfect. Like I said, I don't want to trivialize sin. But I don't think we're here talking about a break of fellowship, I did this or that. And, definitely don't want to start listing sins as though they are trivial. But stumbling in this context is in this relationship to Christ as God and Savior. Because when you look back at these that are being viewed here, they're the ones that are denying that Christ is God. They're the ones that have come up with or embraced a theology that is, heresy. And so I think the stumbling is in that regard. It's, he's able to keep you. And that's, one of the things that when you go through something like that and you look at, that becomes the a frightening thing. Okay, well, what if I become like that? And there isn't this sense of, because I don't think the false teachers here, I don't think there's nothing to indicate that they were believers who had gone astray. But yet, there are believers who are being influenced by them, that are straying because of their influence. So this isn't saying that you will not stumble, but he's able to keep you from stumbling. Where is that focus? Where's the relationship with Him. And He's able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory with great joy. And then, but as a benediction, it's to Him. You know, the focus is, you know, when we look at that, is now to Him. Well, this is who God is in a very practical sense. So we could say, now to Him who is immovable, now to Him who is the Creator, now to Him who is, you know, perfectly holy. This is a much more practical description of God, rather than talking about His attributes, His perfections that we might list. So he's perfectly loving, he's holy, he's all powerful, he's all knowing. You could have those types of things which we find in other places in Scripture, where it says the same thing. You know, you're looking to God and you're making a statement of that sense of praise or glory. In 1 Timothy, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory. So here you start out, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God. I mean, those, it's that lofty description of who God actually is as He revealed Himself. And then, you know, because of that, then it says, okay, therefore, He should have all honor and all glory. Well, here, what is not necessarily unique, but different from that type of a benediction, it's now to Him who is able to keep you. So it's still looking at His power, but His power is viewed in terms of the protection of the believer, not just in terms of the intrinsic qualities of God. And then verse 25 is to the only God, our Savior. So we're back to a little more of that description of God, to the only God that, while we live in a society that embraces, you know, at times just some people have a different God, it seems more and more that people are just open to all kinds of gods. And here it's saying He's the only God. So this is a focus back to the only God. But then it's clarified He's our Savior. It's back in that personal sense. Our Deliverer. So it's not that He's immortal, invisible, the King, but our Savior. And then that's clarified how that, description. It's through Jesus Christ our Lord. There are three of these, if you would, two statements here, these infinitive statements that outline this benediction. It's to Him who is able, to Him who makes us stand, and to Him who is basically our Savior. So all three of them have to do with provisions for us. Not primarily a focus on God's attributes in isolation, but God's attributes as they work out in relationship to us. So, which is really fitting following this short letter that has talked about people that have gone astray. And so for those that are being addressed, it's like there's a real comfort. There's this God that's personally involved in your lives. And then becomes the, we've said it's now to him, but the actual benediction is, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. Really, those are the things that are being questioned by these false teachers. Glory and majesty, dominion and authority. Well, clearly the dominion and authority is that's what they've already said. They deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. There, you know, everything else points to there's not, you know, this group is not impressed with the dominion or the authority of God. And so there's, you know, so here Jude comes along with this affirmation that all authority, all power, all, you know, dominion belongs to God, and all glory and majesty. So I think those four are chosen specifically because that's the type of thing, those are very characteristic of what's being questioned here. And it's, you know, before all time and now and forever, which is really fitting for Jude because we're going back and looking at things in the Old Testament. So this is looking at, you know, he summarizes it here. You know, this isn't something new. This is the way it's always been. It's the way it is now, and it's the way it will be in the future. This is who God is. He deserves all glory, all majesty, all dominion, all authority. He always has. He deserves it right now, and he'll deserve it in the future, for that is who he is. And so the benediction, you know, isn't just a benediction. It's really one that really fits this letter. Well, what do you pick up from it, or your thoughts, or what do you see in here? This made it, this one made into a psalm song. Well, you know, there are a lot, and I didn't write them down, you know, which ones to go to, but you can, if you go back and look at the end of letters, you can pick up. And like I said, not all of them are the end, like the one we read from Timothy's in the middle of it. They're not all at the end, and sometimes, you know, it's when they come to, yeah, it's when they come to the end of sections sometimes. Sometimes the ends are more greetings, you know, not benedictions. It says like in the end of Corinthians, if anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. Maranatha, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Well, I mean, that's a benediction, but it's not the same type of benediction. But there are some that really, you know, stand out. The Hebrews has one, the one in the middle of Timothy. This is one, you know, this benediction from 2 Corinthians, it has a different focus. It's really focused toward us. It says, finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. That one is directed in a different way. It's not lifting up God as much as it's, you know, exhortations to us. And then at the end he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Well, that's a more typical benediction we think of a church service, you know, asking, you know, these various, you know, God in not in roles, but the different persons of God, you know, to be with us. You know, the Galatians, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So those are, you know, they're prayer benedictions. You know, there's a prayer there. You know, may God do this for you. So that's very typical in Ephesians. Grace be with all those who love our Lord with an incorruptible love. You know, those are the more typical ones. You know, these prayers, you know, the grace of the Lord be with you. But as I said, in the middle of Timothy, it has that type of a benediction. And then one that's also, in Thessalonians, it says, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's a prayer. That's more of a prayer. Now may the God, you know, do this for you. It's not, you know, it's a little different type wording. In Hebrews, now the God of peace who brought you up from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That one's similar in the sense that it points out, you know, something about God. The God of peace who brought the dead, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant. Well, you know, in Hebrews, you know, there's some, you know, that benediction is keeping with some of the things in Hebrews too. You know, it was talking about the great shepherd, but, you know, the eternal covenant. You know, these are things that would be more, you know, keeping with Hebrews. But here, you know, that he would keep, that he would equip you, that he would work. To whom be glory. So here it's just be glory. I think the one in Jude, the focus being, you know, on these dominion and authority, those are real issues that were being challenged. God wasn't viewed as having authority and dominion. Or Christ wasn't, for sure. You know, the majesty and the glory, you know, those are in question. By these false teachers. So I think that's that selection. So it is one of the, you know, I don't know, it's always hard to say things like that, but one of the more beautiful, you know, one of the more good, almost powerful benedictions. Because it's, you know, because it moves in a little different direction. And it's not, you know, not just directed to the church saying, may grace and peace be with you, but it encompasses all these things that, you know, in a letter that basically doesn't have a lot of exhortations. I mean, there are not a lot of directives in Jude. Jude is telling us about, you know, why this is a problem. Now comes this reassurance. That's what I see in this benediction. It's a real reassurance of the people that were there, and they've seen what's going on, they're, some been confused, some have been, you know, alarmed, some have been upset with it, some are, you know, different places, I'm sure. But when you start coming around, and then you realize some have gone that way, you know, what now? And here comes this reassurance. But don't forget, he's the one that's able to keep you from stumbling. He's the one that's going to keep you secure. You know, He is the deliverer, and it's to him that honor and majesty belong. It's to him that has dominion and authority. Well, any other things that you see or want to address?